God, you're here, you've been here, you don't ever leave. So now we're here, and we're here for you. So we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 12, I usually don't give a title at the beginning, but I was asked earlier, so my title tonight is Finish Him. If you know, then you know. If you don't know that reference, then don't worry about it. You're going to catch it. Finish Him. If you're watching online, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I have something to say to you. It's going to enhance you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and we'll go to a lot of our favorite scriptures tonight, but I have a resounding theme that I'm trying to get to that I want to make sure we understand, because many times our scripture reading and our studying and our churching and our whatever we want to label it as can be in vain if we don't finish. I mean, anything unfinished is almost useless. I mean, you cook, and if you don't finish, it's not edible. Some things you don't finish cooking is deadly to you. Come on. Real quick, use your imagination for a quick second. Close your eyes, use your imagination for a real quick. So I just want to explain something to you. Close your eyes real quick. I want you to drive home. Get in your car. You in your car yet? If you're in your car, say yeah. Yeah. Some of y'all ain't make it yet. Y'all still walking in the parking lot. Okay, are you in your car? Are you in your car? Say yeah. Are you in your car? And I want you to be driving, okay? Even if you drive or not, today you're driving. All right, and you're driving. You know where you live, right? Yes. I can't hear y'all because some of y'all are a little nervous. Sometimes I don't know, my eyes closed. Do you know where you live? Yes. You know where you live. So you're in your car. Have you started the car? Yes. Started the car. So you're ready. You put it in drive or you're in the parking lot, put it in reverse. And you're on. Let's get on the road. Let's get on Highway 22. Are you there? Yes. All right, now you're on your way home, right? Yes. Are you driving? Everything calm? You got your seatbelt on. Do you have your seatbelt on? Okay, make sure you got your seatbelt on. Got to be safe. So you're driving right now, right? And you're on your way to your house, right? Because you know where you live, right? All right, so keep driving. Now, I want you to use your imagination and go to about what you think is halfway there. All right, you might be on the interstate. You may be by the grocery store. You know, because you know where you live at. Are you there right now? All right, I want you to stop right where you are. Put it in park. Y'all got it in park? Some of y'all nervous because you're on the interstate, huh? I don't know, just go ahead and pull over to the side. You still got your eyes closed. Come on. I'm doing this for a reason. Put it in park right there. Get out the car and start getting prepared for bed like you always do. Now do it. Right where you are, right there. No. Okay, don't prepare for bed, all right? Just start changing clothes. Oh, Lord. Go into the kitchen to get that thing that you've been waiting to get home to go get. Right? Or some of the things, go to the bathroom and use the restroom. Or go get some of the important things you have at your home. You got them? Do you have them? Somebody say, yes, sir. No, you can't have them. If you got them, you ain't followed them instructions too well. You open your eyes, look at me. You cannot function like you're at home if you don't go all the way. You cannot function from the place where your necessities are or where you abide. John 15 talks about if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Esau talks about in John talking about us abiding in the Father and the Father abiding in us, and we're in Jesus and Jesus in us. If we don't make it all the way home, let me change the subject for a minute, because all the way home does not mean make it to heaven. If we don't go to the place where we abide and we go halfway and we don't go all the way, then we cannot be everything that we should be. We will not have everything that we should have. The protection, the comfort, the knowing where things are. We don't have that if we only go half the way, but you're going in the right direction. Right? Because when you were driving home, you were driving in the right direction, right? You didn't go the other way, right? You was going towards your house, wasn't you? But you just didn't finish. You started, but you didn't finish. You were on your way, but you never became the way. Oh, wow. I got to hear me. And so much of what we may call failure, much of what we may call a lack, much of what we may call condemnation, much of what we may call disappointment or depression, or all these different things that we tend to battle in our lives, which we shouldn't be, are a product of incompleteness. Nothing's wrong with you, you're just not finished. It's true. You don't have a problem, you just haven't finished. You haven't finished your concept of who you are already. So it's incomplete. Everybody say incomplete.
Incomplete.
It's not incorrect. It's two different words. Incorrect would be one thing, right? But it's not incorrect. It's
incomplete.
It's not finished. We have not finished. We have not allowed ourselves to be finished. So because we're not finished, whatever I am, that's what comes from me. So if I'm unfinished, then I have unfinished actions. I have unfinished faith. I have unfinished belief. I have unfinished function. I never complete what's supposed to be happening. I never complete the creation of what's supposed to come from me because I'm incomplete in my soul. I got some good thoughts, but I'm not finished. I got some good ways, but I'm not. And so if I'm not finished, I can't serve something unfinished. Amen. Minister means to pass out. Right? Ephesians 4, we're going to talk about in a minute about the minister. But you can't pass out something that ain't done. Because if you pass out something that ain't done, you might kill somebody. So I have to get this in our heads that much of what we struggle with or battle with is not that we're not going in the right direction, or not that we shouldn't go that way, or not that's not the thing that we should overcome, but we have not finished. And so things in life tend to beat us because we don't know we already won. Things in life tend to waver us or shake us because we don't know that it's already done. What's already done? You all say, I am. Say, I'm already done. Come on, say, I'm already done.
I'm already done.
Now I know you feel some kind of way. You start thinking about your shortcomings and your downfalls and your mess ups and your some habits and everything. Nobody talking about that right now. God could be finishing you and you be finished at the same time. See, he's dimensional. He don't work according to your terms. Because see, I am already finished. Say, I'm already finished. Those things in my life that don't work out the way it's supposed to work out are things that I'm trying to get over that I can't seem to get over. Those things are just the unfinished parts that I've unfinished in my soul. Because I don't know that I'm done. Y'all listen to me? I don't know. I don't know that I'm finished. I'm finished in the Father. When he breathed into me, I was done. You say, well, that ain't how I got here. I got here through my mom and them. When you got here, you was done. So it's understanding. All that I get and get, it's understanding. Understand something that's under my standing. Something that allows me to stand firmly in what I believe. I'm already done. Say it.
I'm already done.
Now don't. I don't want you to consider your circumstances. Your circumstances lie to you. Your circumstances tell you all day long that you're not finished. Your circumstances tell you all day long that if you get over here, then you'll be all right. What, tomorrow? Or when I get this amount of money. Or when I get in this relationship. Or when I get this, then you'll be somebody. Sound like the serpent talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. You'll be just like God. No, fool, I am God already. I didn't choose it. I didn't do it. He did it. We go up there and say, hey, God, can you? We're going to pray. God, please make me in your image. No, we didn't pray that. He decided to do that.
Right.
So those things on the outside try to deceive you and get you to misstep. It gets you to get off your path of who you are, and it gets you to make a misstep so that I know if I can get you over here, then you'll miss the ball. Mm-hmm. It's slight, though. It's real slight. This system is a counterfeit. Cubic zirconium diamond. Look just like it, though, huh? Don't get mad if you got it on tonight. I'm just saying. It's right there, and it looks just like it, but it doesn't carry the value, nor is the stability the same. And so from incomplete to complete, say it, from incomplete,
incomplete
to complete,
to complete.
From, undone
to done,
from unfinished
to finished.
To finished. Right, this is where we're going. This is where we need to be. This is where you are already, but your thought process has not made it there yet. Listen to me. I can say with a firm, strong assurance right now that you are finished. You are done. You are perfected right now. But my soul has to know right well. I woke up the other morning. I don't want to get over here because if I get over here, then please put this clock on. Please, y'all, please fix this clock. Lord Jesus, please. I know who I am, but I know some other people too. So I need y'all to go ahead and I don't know what the time is. Dash, y'all go ahead and fix the time to make sure it's correct because order is proper. I just woke up. I didn't pray a tongue. I didn't do a shatah. I didn't. Not a meditation or nothing. I'm just laying there. And he said, your faith ain't for what you've been using it for. He said, your faith ain't made for problems. He said, I didn't create your faith for problems. You've been using it that way because that's what you thought. He said, they can take care of your problem, but I didn't create them for your problems. He said, your faith is much higher than your problem. But if you think they are for the problem, then you'll keep them lateral and never go vertical. Your faith is not for problem management. You start praying and using your faith. He said your beliefs are not for your problems. But you begin to believe something when you got an issue. Y'all know what we do. We get to confessing in the name of Jesus, by faith in the name of Jesus. By His stripes, I'm healed. We start confessing the scripture, confessing it over and over again because we're problem management. And most of our life becomes problem management and we're just shuffling problems from one place to the other. Now we done prayed it from over there. Now it's over here. And then we thought it was going over there, then it popped back up, right? Because you're using your faith for less than what it's really made to be. Incomplete, complete. Okay, it's not incorrect that you use faith for problems, right? That's not incorrect, but it's just incomplete. You hadn't used your faith all the way. They told Jesus, can you increase our faith? He said, well, I don't need to increase your faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you don't know what you got. So now you want to increase when you didn't even know you had it all. Wow. Listen, you go read the scripture. He didn't increase their faith. He didn't say, in the name of Jesus, get more faith. He said, no. If you understood you, and if you understood what you already had, then you wouldn't even be asking me these questions. Man. Some of our prayers, we praying, and we don't even need to pray them. You're wasting the phone line time. You're wasting minutes. You're wasting God minutes. Praying for something that's already done in you, and you just speak the word and it happens.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to
God. It's very tricky. It's the trick of the enemy and the trick of the system is to get you to stay on his level. Keep down here and playing tennis with me. You hit it cross, I hit it back to you. Then you hit it cross, I hit it back to you. Then you hit it cross, I hit it back to you. And we live our lives, we call it living by faith. When it's not, if your problems were, if your faith was made for your problem, then your problem would become God. It would be the catalyst to your faith. It would be the thing that makes your faith. But we know faith works by what? Faith works by what? Y'all ain't know the scripture right now. Honey. What does the faith work at? Faith working. Faith. What it do? What it do? Faith works by love. Faith was working by love. And God has given every man the measure. Don't let your problems fool you. Don't let your problems deceive you and make you think that's all you made for, to fight. I like fighting the good fight of faith. Don't y'all like that scripture? Yeah, but Jesus ain't tell me to do a lot of fighting. Jesus said, if you say. Jesus said, if you say, you have what? So, and I'm going to read this in a minute because I'm going to read a little bit of Paul. I'm going to read a little bit of the letters. And so now, it's not that fight the good fight of faith is wrong. It's incomplete. The law and the letter. Everything outside of Christ is maintained. Every principle, every subject that you've heard, every law that you heard, every rule, every regulation, all of those things are to hold you in place until you know who you are. That's all they're for. They're not meant to live by. They're meant to hold you in place until you realize you are life. Riding on the road. Driving on the road, right? Right? There are lines on the road, right? Now, some of y'all may have heard me say this before. There are lines on the road, right? There are regulations. There are lines, a dotted line, and a straight line, some solid line. They got red lights, green lights, stop signs, yield signs. All of these things are regulations. If you pass one of those and don't do what it say, you will be breaking the law. Okay, and you can't get a ticket for that. It will be punishment for that because you're breaking the law, because the law is there to keep you in a place. Yield, the yield sign is there because you really need to be looking when you normally wouldn't be. So the law is not a bad thing, but have you ever looked and it still went the other way? Like, have you ever stopped at or you had the right to go at a green light, but somebody was still flying through, not paying attention? All right, law and life now, law and life now, law and life, law and life. Now, what the law could not do, it could not save you at that particular moment. So now, you had to know who you are and where you were. And I had to supersede what the law said. The law said you can go, though. No, I had to become the law, which is life. And I had to pay attention to what's going on, because the law would have took me out. That same law that was meant to save me was the same law that would have killed me. Sound like the tree of knowledge of good and evil to me. Well, y'all listen to me. So every principle, every subject line, every law, they're okay. They're good. They're okay. They're good. They're good to be, but they're incomplete. And if you stop there, then you'll never see who you really are. Y'all hear me? I pray that you hear me. Pray that you hear me. Hear me, understand. Everybody say finish. Oh, we're going to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read the scripture. I know we know it, but plenty of this. I said this Sunday, and I'll say it again, that our ministry is not to do it for you. Appreciate it. Our ministry is not to do it for you. It's to point you in a direction so you do yourself. All right, listen to me. I'm not trying to convince you. I just have to tell you what it is, and I need you to search on your own. Religion don't work no more, and traditions don't work no more. And there'll be a day that you won't even be able to see where they are. It's coming. Jesus talked about it, but we'll talk about it another time. Hebrews chapter 12. And I start off verse 1, I'm trying to get to verse 2. But wherefore, seeing we are so compassed by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. And when you see the word sin, don't just think about actions. I want you to think about identity. The only reason we act a certain way is because we believe that we are a certain way. So sin really has to do with your identity. The word sin is an original word. The original word means missing the mark. It's missing the mark that you are. It's missing who you really are. So at this particular time, when I've got over here and my hands did whatever they did, it is a product of me not knowing who I was. Are y'all understanding that? So every sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, you read. Ready, read. Looking unto who?
Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking unto Jesus. Read it again from the beginning. Ready, read. The author and what? What else he do? So he wrote it, he started it, and he what? Of what? Who faith?
Our faith.
He shows how he finished it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto. Now, how much time you spend doing that for a minute? How much time do we spend looking unto Jesus? I know we look unto our Christianity. I know we look unto our morality. It's not bad things. It's not finished. That ain't correct. It's incomplete. How much time do I spend? I don't care if you call it devotion, whatever you want to call it, looking unto Jesus. Because obviously it's written here, and Paul says it right here, that he's the right. I can't get finished nowhere else. I can go to whatever institution, I can go talk to anybody I want to. I can get hands laid on me, pray all what you, what else you want? You want some dust? What else we want? You want a holy rag, water from Jerusalem? Can't get finished no other way. The finishing is in Jesus. Looking unto. Don't look at him. Don't look at Jesus and then get a blessing. No, you're looking. Looking, I-N-G, means a continual look. Focus. Everybody say focus. Come on, say it again. Say focus. Because if I look at something long enough, I'm focused. If I look at something long enough, I'm staring. If I look at something long enough, you ever looked at something and then like you be walking, you be driving that direction, like you're driving and you're looking at something and your car go that direction because your vision makes you go in that direction. Whatever I'm looking at, I'm drawn towards. Whatever I'm looking at, I'm drawn towards. All right, now whatever you're looking at, you're drawn towards. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of what we believe. He's the author and finisher of who we are. Nobody else can tell you who you are but Christ. Let's just go to a couple of favors real quick. And if you're in the, in the room with the scriptures, just go with me. We'll read them quick. Go to 1 John chapter 4. We like that one. 1 John 4:4, right? Right? Anybody know what 1 John 4:4 said? Mm-hmm. You've overcome the little children. Y'all know it, right? I almost ain't got to even go there, but I'm just going to go there anyway. Verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is well. Than well? Than he that is in the world. It says, it's referring to Christ again. It's referring to Christ again. So now our favorite scriptures, they're referring to Christ. They're pointing us somewhere. Everybody in the Old Testament, they were prophesied. See, the prophets, you know what the prophets were for? The prophets were for to prophesy Jesus coming. Yeah, I need to keep hope alive. I need to tell y'all that there's somebody coming that's going to finish this thing. The closest one to him was John the Baptist. He said they got one coming. That's greater than me. You know, I'm giving you a good message, but the one that's coming is greater than me. Why is he greater than me? Because he's not coming with the message. He's coming with the personality. He's coming to finish it. One of the things I learned about the scripture, and we're going to read in a little while, but one of the things I learned is that I know that Jesus had to come in the flesh. John chapter 1 talking about the word was made flesh. I know he had to come in the flesh because otherwise we'd have a reason to overlook the words. Y'all know y'all got rule books that y'all overlook. I mean, even driving the rules say 55, speed limit 55. You know you be. You say, if I go 60, they don't stop you until you're about 12 miles over. Right? You know we can break those rules because nobody, and then you slow down when you see the police. When you see the flesh. Act right, right? Right? And so there's a lot of things in the scripture in the rule book that you can kind of bypass, or ain't nobody looking at you, watch it. Or you can make an excuse for not being that. But Jesus Christ eliminated all our excuses. Like, we have no right for lack. We have no excuse to be lacking, sick. I mean, name what you don't like, and we ain't got no excuse to be that. Jesus eliminated it. That's why it's kind of hard to study him sometimes. I'll be honest with you. It's very gut-wrenching to study Jesus in an explicit way. Because he tears your house down. You thought he came in. Jesus makes a statement. He said, I ain't come to bring peace. I ain't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. I'm about to tear it down. Whatever the moral fiber of what you think is making you stand together, I come to tear that down. You built it on the sand. He's going to save you by killing you. Well, if y'all can see some of the faces that I see when I say, he gonna save you by killing you. I'm gonna take it slow. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Galatians 3:13. I'm just gonna read through these real quick because they just came up today. Galatians 3:13. I'm gonna read as soon as I get this. If you still turning, and that's on your body. All right, hold on. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us. Who? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, or having to live by the law without life, or having to think that something else was it and not me. Have not we lived a life where somebody's always telling them, well, you know, if you get over there, you'll be all right. Huh? If you be like this, you'll be all right. If you get this or you get that or you have this, or if your church look like this or do like that, then you really made it. And it seems like the finish line keeps going further back. Right? I done got that and it disappointed me. It let me down. It didn't fulfill me. Because you're already filled. Christ, say, I'm already filled. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. So now he's redeemed us from the curse. That means the law itself is a curse. The law, if I try to live in a law, the thing that meant good for me will become bad for me. It will become a curse to me because I don't finish it. It would be a curse if you finish school to go back and do kindergarten. Somebody probably need to curse you out to get out of their class. It would be a problem. It would not be your purpose. Right? You would not be everything you're supposed to be if you're going back sitting in the class trying to see how to color in between the lines. Once I have matured and once I graduate, it doesn't mean that I lose the law. I just know that I am life. And all those things we're talking about who I am. No, we keep going. Come on. You want another one? Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. All these scriptures seem to be pointing toward the same guy. I read it. I can do all things. Come on, y'all can stop turning your page. Y'all know it by heart. Come on, I can do all things. Through who? That strengthened me. Not with Christ. Not for Christ. It's inside. Everybody say inside. I can do all things. That mean all the other things that I'm doing, I can't do them. All the other things that I'm doing outside of Christ, that's why I'm so weak. Because the strength is only in Christ. How many things, I ask questions, because Jesus asks questions, I like that. How many things you think you're doing outside of Christ? Don't, get a piece of paper, let's write them down real quick. I don't do it. How many things that you need to consider these? Consider talks about considering your ways, and these are the conversations. You don't need to get off into the upper next realm right now. You need to sit there where you at right now. How many things am I literally doing on my everyday basis that's outside of Christ? I'm not talking about outside of church, because you got to operate outside of church. You're going to work tomorrow, right? Yeah, they ain't church over there. Actually, you are the church, but that's another message, right? But how many things is it that I'm trying to get done outside of Christ? How many things have I done or are doing or continue to do without consideration is this Christ? I be trying to have a feel-good message, but it don't work like that. You got to think. Everybody say think. I'll be trying to smile while I'm saying it. But it's, how many? And why? Who taught you that? Who told you that was okay? Who didn't tell you that wasn't the way to do it? I'm not talking about bad little explicit stuff now. Now you counting your morals. No, don't count your morals right now. I'm talking about everything. Because I can do all things, which means I can do nothing outside of him. That means there's nothing that I should do outside of him. That's one of y'all favorite scriptures, huh? Not no more. Galatians 2. Yeah, everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whether you feel like it or not, everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Galatians chapter 2. I came on a mission. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul is constantly referring. Paul, if you read the epistles or you read the letters, he has to talk about mundane things that are on the earth and just mundane things that are already fixed and already done in Christ. But he has to talk about them because people keep asking them questions. They keep asking about their personal concerns. And he keeps trying to refer, but the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Like it's done over there, it's done in Christ. Like if you would pay attention to Christ and do it like him and change into him, because that's who you are. If you change in that, you wouldn't be asking me these questions. But people kept on asking questions. So Paul got to talk about things that don't really need to be talked about. Sound like church, don't it?
Yes.
Sound like the modern day church.
Yes.
Got to talk about subjects that are already taken care of. So Paul keep pointing. I'm not Josh. Verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ. God, dog. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I'm living. Yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the
Son of God.
You know, he didn't say, who loved me and gave himself to me. But you notice, I'll be reading this slow. He didn't say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That means my faith is like a son.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't hear me. I said, I operate in faith as a son. I operate, the life that I live by faith, by son faith. Everybody say son faith. Come on, so I live by son faith. So I believe and I act. This faith, right? Believing and acting. I believe and act. My actions and my belief and my words and the way that I do things, I do them like a son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just a son, but a son of God.
Yeah.
So now my faith, I don't have faith other than son faith. Everybody say son faith.
Son faith.
That's a good one. Everybody say son faith.
Son faith.
Come on, say it again. Say son faith.
Son faith.
So the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by son faith. I'm in the flesh. Come on, you. I'm in the flesh. Come on. You feel yourself. You're in the flesh, right? Come on. But the life that I'm living in this flesh, I'm living the Son of God. And I ain't got time to go over to the scripture now, but when you call yourself a son of God, you know what that says, right? You know what that say? They got mad with him. I'm going to read over in John 5 in a minute. They got mad with him because they said, what's wrong? He called God his father, making himself equal with God. So son faith is really God faith. Do not frustrate, verse 20, do not frustrate the grace of God, righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. But let me jump to verse 20 again. I am crucified with Christ. This is how I operate in son faith. I'm dead to all these other ideas. I'm dead to all these other concepts. How many of them? I said this Sunday, and I'll say it again, and we have to consider our ways. What we do is a lot of things, we make decisions and ask God to bless them. Hey, can you put your all on this? And so we make it holy. It's still the same thing that you decide to do. Grace is going to cover it until you change your mind. It's the way it is. Hey, God, can you take care of this for me? Well, I didn't even start that. You're asking me to violate myself. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
You like that? Crucified.
Crucified.
How did you say it like me?
Crucified.
I said, crucified.
Crucified.
Come on, say, I am.
I am.
Crucified.
Crucified.
With Christ. Come on, say it again. Say, I am
crucified
with Christ.
With Christ.
Now, Paul is saying it right here, so that's cool. God bless Paul, and I'm saying it confessionally wise right now, but is that true? Are you crucified? Jesus says some stuff, man. Like, you can't get past it. We pass it up. We flip over it because we like to feel good. And I understand about feeling good, but that ain't the way all the time. Feeling good will dance you right to hell. That's going to say, wide is the path. He's just dancing, having fun, and feel good, and feel the spirit on the way to hell. Yeah, scripture say, they got one scripture say, everybody say, I went to church all the time. I cast out demons in your name. I did all. He going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why did he not know you? Because you didn't know you. In order to really know yourself, you've got to die to your mundane ideas. You'll never meet the original if you stay flooded with what everybody told you. She's got a lot of things in our head right now that everybody told us about us. And we begin to build on those sand, on that sand, and every time the wind comes and knock the house down. Huh? Because the rock is the identity. Identity of Christ in me. Everybody say, Christ in me. Christ in me. Come on, say it again. Christ in me. Christ. Say, I am crucified, crucified with Christ. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I don't really have a messages we try to finish. It's already done. It's already finished. I just need you to go look at the finished work. My goal is to get us to change how we've been doing things into how he does things. And I cannot know how he does things if I don't spend time with him. I'm not talking about a prayer meeting. I'm not even talking about your devotion in the morning. Because it goes beyond your devotion. Sometimes we're devoted to things that ain't even Christ. Sometimes our devotion has nothing to do with Christ. It's a shadow. Everything before Jesus was a shadow. They were all shadows of him coming. They were shadows. It had the form, but it really wasn't him. It had the form, but not the feel. It was shadows. Everything out there pointing back at him. But we rarely spend time in those red ones. If we be honest with ourselves, amen? We are, we don't spend a lot of time in them red ones. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner of the law, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of who? All. How many? All. And is above who? And through who? And in who? But every one of us is given grace according to, and we don't need an interpretation of this. You just read this, right? Right? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of what? Jump to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Amen. Verse 12, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, those can be three different parts, or those can be progressive steps. So perfecting the saints, maturing, grow up, growing up into who you are. Then you can pass something out. Don't pass me nothing out that's undone. Don't give me your undone religion. Don't give me your undone witness. Don't give me your undone rhetoric. Because we're sending unfinished people out. So I need perfection. Everybody say perfection. Perfection. See, flawless is not in the Bible, so stop thinking that perfection and flaws is the same thing. It's not. Perfection. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, passing out. The work of passing it out. Ministry means pass out. It's that minister. So for the work that it takes to pass it out. Pass out what? The perfection. The steps. So I get perfected. I get perfected. Right? I know who I am. I grow up into who I am. Right? And then It teaches me how to pass out who I am. Work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is how the body of Christ is edified. Verse 13, it says till. That means until. That means we need to be focusing on this until this. We don't really need to be looking at nothing else or trying new endeavors or trying to do these different things or coming up with a new revelation. No, right here. This needs to be going on until we all come into the unity of the faith. Right? And the knowledge of what? I didn't say the knowledge. Now Christ at the end of this is the knowledge of the Son of God. Right. Son of God unto a perfect man. It's a perfect again to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ is in the scripture, right? But he's saying to the knowledge of Christ. Although that's where the knowledge we're going, right? But he's making a statement for a reason. Until we come into the knowledge of what? The Son of God. Who the Son of God? No. Answer me. Who's the Son of God? Say, I am. Come on, say, I am. Say it louder. Say, I am. We got to stop pointing at Jesus and say, he the Son of God. Yeah, that's true, but it's incomplete. That's a true thought that Jesus is the Son of God. Right? I'm not going to tell you Jesus is the Son of God. Say it. But if I know that Jesus is the Son of God and I don't know what that means, that I am the Son of God, then I'm incomplete. Do you get what we're missing? It? Like there's a gap. There's a gap in our faith because that we believe that he is, but we don't believe that we are. When the whole time he's saying, you are. Is Jesus the Son of God? Everybody say, yeah. Yes. Are you the Son of God? Everybody say, yeah. Yes. I need the same volume. Because if I believe that more than I believe this, then I'm incomplete. Yes. You can do it vice versa. If you believe you the Son of God and you ain't respecting Jesus, you're incomplete. Yes, sir. And I'm over that right now. We're scared to talk about being the Son of God or being like God or being equal with God because we're afraid that we're going to walk away. We're not going to walk away from where? He everywhere. How you going to get away? But if I believe that if I read this scripture and that we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and I keep saying Jesus right there, and I never put me. We never done it before, huh? Don't lie to me. I never done it before. I never read this scripture. Y'all read the scripture? How many of y'all read the scripture before tonight? You read it one time in your life before tonight. I never put, always the Son of God was Jesus. I taught all in my class and everything. I just realized this tonight while I'm talking to y'all. I'm serious. The knowledge of the Son of God. It's talking about the knowledge of who I am. Everybody say the knowledge of who I am. Say it again, the knowledge of who I am. Say it again, the knowledge of who I am. I am not just such and such and such and such son. I am not just Dr. Leroy and Sister Carolyn Thompson's son. Thank you for getting me here. I appreciate it. Thank you for teaching me in this direction. But I'm a son of God, say it. Say it, I'm a son of God. Come on, say it, I'm a son of God. We ain't got to worry about it. Ladies, don't worry about it. I'm a daughter. Don't worry about it. All that's the same. Just go with me. Don't go on. No. Just stick with me. I ain't in the head. Somebody probably said it. That's why I had to say it. Say, I'm a son of God. Unto a perfect man, it's right there, the perfect man. So until we all come into the unity of faith and now to the Son of God. So until we got to keep doing this, we got to keep the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. They got to keep teaching us this until we realize who we are. Yeah. It's only that because we're trying to realize who you are. Till I come to the knowledge of me being the Son of God. Till I am complete. Everybody say complete. Complete. Say it again, complete. Complete. Come on, say it again, complete. To a perfect man. And it explains, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until you measure up to look like Christ. Amen. Now that ain't for nobody else outside to see it. That's something for you to see it. Until you realize that I measure up to the Son of God. Now you don't measure up by your merit. You don't measure up by your morals. You don't measure up by your hours of prayer. You don't measure up by the amount of scriptures you read. You don't measure up by perfect attendance in church. You don't measure up by that. You measure up because he made you that. And your soul has to change. We've been reading and praying to get to something when in actuality we are something already and should be praying and reading from that place. Jesus makes a statement. He says, and it's a tough one for a lot of people. And I can imagine how tough it was because then the disciples were like, well, we did it. He said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom? The rich young ruler come, he tell him what to do. He said, well, how hard is a rich man to enter the kingdom? And they said, well, we left everything. He said, ain't nobody that left houses and land and children and mothers and fathers and wives. Oh, Lord, leave your family, your wife, your husband. Oh, Lord, what are you talking about, Jesus? I bet that's how quiet it was. I did the Bible, man. I ain't making nothing up. He said, ain't nobody left all this lands and houses and all this stuff. He said, for my sake and the gospel now, my sake and the gospel. I'm just be getting up and leaving stuff. That will not receive 100-fold. Now in this time, not when you go to the glory, not when you go to heaven, now in this time of the same things. It is not that the things are a problem, but it's how you get the things. Matthew 6, he started talking about it. He said, take no thought what you eat, what you're going to drink, how you going to wear, what you're going to do, all this stuff. He said, because I know that you have need of these things, but I need you to seek first. And where's the kingdom? Yeah. I need you to seek that first, and I'll add these things. The Lord told me today, he said, stop trying to make a name for yourself and let me add one to you. Philippians 2:5, talk about it. He says, let his mind be also in Christ, who thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no. And humbled himself. Then he said, became obedient. Okay, amen. Keep going. Amen. He's saying amen. Became obedient. Became obedient unto death. Amen. Come on, everybody say amen. Even the death of the cross. Amen. Yet the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I've given him a name that is above every name. I've given him a way to live and a character and a lifestyle that is above every other lifestyle. And what you're looking for, ain't it? Yeah, you are what you've been looking for. Wouldn't it be the greatest trick, they call it hidden in plain sight. You ever heard that before? Hidden in plain sight. Like, God did it on purpose like that so that nobody could take it from you. He hid it on the inside of you. But the enemy using that same mentality against you if you don't know who you are. So he got you looking all over the place. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Say it's in me. Say it's in me. And it's been there the whole time. What Jesus is screaming is look on the inside. You already got it. That's what he's screaming. The enemy and the system and everything on the outside is saying come over here and get it because we got it. Eat from the tree, you'll be just like God. But I am God already. Say, I am God already. Come on, say it again. I am God already. No. You need to get some knowledge. When you get some knowledge, you'll be like God. But I am God already. Come on, say, but I am God already. But I get some knowledge and I know how to do good and I know how to eschew evil and I know the difference between bad and good, then I'll be like God. But I am God already. Say it. See the slightness? It's not an easy thing to study sometimes because you really have to put your head in and drown. You have to drown in this understanding. You can't swim in it. You can't dibble. This ain't an appetite. You can't taste test this. You got to change everything. Henceforth, we know children talk to it for a cap, but every window doctrine, slight of men, kind of crash away by their lie, wait to see who speak the truth and love, may grow up in the him and all things which is the head, even Christ. When the whole body fill it, joined together and compact, but every joint was supplied, they call the effects of working the measure of every part, make increase of the body and edify itself in love. Therefore, this I say that testify in love that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is because of the. Who being in the past have given themselves the lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned, have you learned Christ? Have we learned Christ? Ask yourself real quick. Hey, self, have I learned Christ? Ask yourself real quick. Hey, self, Say it. Hey, self. Have I learned Christ? Whatever answer's going on in your inner conversation is what you need to change. Because your inside answers you. You didn't say it out loud, but your inside said, yeah, I need to do better. Your inside said, I could learn more. And your inside started telling you all the stuff that you have learned. And so you've been living by that. Right? Am I right, though? I understand. You didn't have to tell me, but I just see if you agree. Because, I'm right. Romans chapter 8 real quick, and then we'll round this thing out. If it ain't rounded already. Verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that means outside of Christ Jesus comes all your condemnation. I can condemn you if you're outside of Christ. I can condemn you. I can condemn you. You can be condemned. Life can condemn you if you're outside of yourself. Who walks after the flesh but after the spirit? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free for what? For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness, the same kind of flesh. That same flesh that's easy to miss the mark. That same flesh that's really easy to be moved by everything around it. Come on, y'all know it, right? That's, I'm sitting in that same kind of flesh, the same temptations. The same confusion, the same things that's trying to make you doubt. And enforce sin, condemn sin in that same flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I look at the word spirit, it says a in-breathing. It says a breath, a breeze. Spirit means a current of air. Yeah. Spirit. It's a current of air. That means when he breathed into us, he didn't stop breathing. He didn't go, now y'all go live. He never disconnected our lungs. Come on, breathe in. He's still, yeah, breathe out to them. He's still breathing. What are you using the breath for? What are we using it for? He's still breathing. We still breathing. What are we using it for? You're going from incomplete to complete. Or we have to round our thoughts out. John chapter 5, real quick, we'll knock this out. John chapter 5. And all those scriptures were in the letters and the epistles. None of them was in the gospels, because I'm trying to tell you that everything you read outside is pointing over there. Everything you read, every principle, you know, we learn most of our basic Christianity principles from the letters and not from the gospels. We learn about marriage, we learn about faith, we learn about money, we learn about all the different stuff from the epistles, from the letters. Come on, tell the truth. Yeah. But it's pointing you towards Jesus in the gospels when he's talking to you. And he makes this statement. It's talking about from incomplete to complete. He makes this statement, and I could read the chapter, but I don't have time to read the chapter. But he's going on and talking about different things. And he starts talking about, I can do nothing of myself. The Father does the work. And he said, I can do nothing of myself. But to get down to our favorite, in verse 39, and Jesus started talking rough to him. I know people say, I be talking rough. Jesus started talking rough. He said, y'all are your father the devil. He was talking to church people. He wasn't talking to the heathens or whatever we want to call them. You talking to people sitting in church. Imagine you get up here and say, your father the devil. Some of y'all get up and walk out on me. Some of y'all write a letter to the apostle on me. He said, you ain't got the love of God in you. Little scripture, he said, you ain't got the love of God in you. That's Jesus, red words. In verse 39, going from incomplete to complete. Everybody say incomplete. To complete, undone, to done, unfinished, to finished. And I need you to finish, and that's why I named it finish him. Because when you finish Christ, you finish you. Amen. To let him be finished. Are you ready? Verse 39, Jesus is talking. He's giving you got context. You go read context for yourself. He said, search the scriptures. Cool, master them laws, understand them. Read them, search them, quote them. For in them you think you have eternal life. That's what you signed up for anyway. You ain't want to go to a burning hell. And they are they which testify of me. So he's saying everything you're reading is talking about me anyway. So you can read them, but if you never, watch this. Verse 40, read it. So ain't no life outside of him. So what is this you're talking about you living? There ain't no life outside of him. He says, you want eternal life. Yeah. That's no problem. We got that. But you got to realize that it is not in the scriptures. The scriptures are only a directional arrow pointing you to me. And when you come to me, you see you. Because I'm in the flesh just like you. I did it. I walked and I did it just like you're doing it right now. And we eliminated excuses. But he makes a statement. He said, but you won't come to me that you might have life. What that tells me is there's a possibility that I can memorize and know all the scriptures, finish ministry school, and do all these different things and serve the Lord for years and years and years and years and years and still be incomplete. Because I haven't come all the way to him. So we must pick up our relationship with Christ. And we must study the words of Christ a little more than we have been. We must spend, not a little more, way more, all more. We need to study these red words more than we've been allowing ourselves to study them. Because none of those principles work if they're not infilled by him. None of those chants, confession, none of that work. Nothing works if there's not infilled with Christ. Amen and amen, amen. Glory to God.